Howdy, folks. This is Shane. Welcome to the In the Blues Tone podcast. I don't know what episode this is now. I've done quite a few of them, but it's January 2016. So 2016 is already half the way through the first month already. Time flies, absolutely flies. There's loads of cool stuff to talk about today, but firstly, I get asked nearly every video, how come the podcasts are so short if you're watching on YouTube? The podcasts are usually about an hour. If you want to download the whole thing, you can head over to iTunes or any podcatcher, type in the blues and find the full podcast there. Alternatively, if you don't use that software, you can go over to guitarpedaldemos.com and listen to the whole thing. There's an audio file there. Click play and you can listen for free. So nice and easy. So that said, let's get stuck into some of this stuff. So the first thing that came to my attention, Epiphone released the Gary Clark Jr. Black and Blue Casino electric guitar, and it's equipped with Gibson USA P90 pickups. This looks awesome. I'm not going to say I'm a huge fan of Gary Clark Jr., but what I've seen of him on YouTube, I really like. I don't have any of his albums, but that's not because I don't want to buy them. I just haven't gotten around to that or anything like that. But from what I've seen, I like his vibe. He's kind of got a bit of a serious sort of side to him in his music, from what I can tell. There's a really great clip he and John Mayer did when they inducted Albert King into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame or something like that, or one of the Blues Hall of Fames. And yeah, it was really cool. I did Born Under a Bad Sign. And yeah, he's a great player. He's got a really unique and sort of refreshing approach to playing guitar. So let's take a look at the specs. Firstly, I should note that the finish on the guitar looks beautiful. We've got the body material is 5-ply laminated maple. The neck material is mahogany. Now, the neck shape is actually 60 slim taper D profile. So I'm assuming that's not very big, but that's cool. That will suit probably most people. I'll just go through the main stuff here. The scale length is 24.75. The fingerboard is rosewood with perloid. And it's got something called parallelogram inlays, which I can't say I've actually heard of before, but they look cool. They're not quite, they're like slanted squares, basically. So that's kind of nice. 22 medium jumbo frets, which is good. As I mentioned, the pickups are both USA-made P90s. So we've got a P90T and a P90R in the neck. And it's got some other stuff like the ABR Tunematic Bridge, trapeze tailpiece, which looks pretty cool. So it actually has a whammy bar on there as well. It's good to see, I should point out too, like pro using like Epiphone stuff rather than Gibson stuff. I think that's refreshing to see. I know there's other guys, actually there's quite a few guys in the blues scene that do use Epis over Gibsons. Another one that I can think of off the top of my head would be Keb Moe, and he's fantastic. So anyway, let's keep looking through here. We've got Grover Rotomatic machine heads. I guess the main thing is it looks like a great guitar for blues. Not only does it look great, I'm sure it sounds great. And he's in Gary Clark Jr. is actually, you know, this is his limited edition signature model. So yeah, it's really, really cool. I like the fact that Epiphone have done this. I think that's a really cool thing to see. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to checking these out. And I know already they won't make these in left-handed, but it'll still be fun for me to go check them out and see what they're all about. So if you're watching on YouTube, please let me know what you think of the Epiphone Casino range. And if you haven't checked out the new Casino, the Gary Clark Jr. Casino, I'll post all the links in the description as well, so you'll be able to check that out. Alright, so 2015 saw a video of an 81-year-old guy called Bob Wood rocking out in a music store, just absolutely like shredding tastefully on his Epiphone guitar. And I gotta say, he was, you know, he's an impressive player. He's an old session guy from Nashville. And obviously he still plays because, man, he's fantastic. And it's great to see that Epiphone actually put together an interview with him on their website. So I'll post links to this in the comments as well if you are watching on YouTube, because yeah, it's worth a read. And he's a phenomenal guitar player. It's funny when you see older people pick up the guitar, you just assume they're not going to have their faculties about them, especially when you're in your 80s, you know. Like, there's a lot of guys over the years who get better with age, and then there's some that, you know, as with most things, a lot of guys lose their chops to some extent, or they forget a lot of chops. This guy's a fantastic player. He's done some radio shows. He's played with a whole bunch of people. And if you also just YouTube Bob Wood, you'll see some stuff comes up. He plays, you know, jazz, pop, everything. He plays blues, country stuff. And, he's a really great player. So highly recommend you check out the interview. And it goes over, you know, I guess the great thing is for Epiphone, this is not an endorsed artist. It was just a guy who loves that particular guitar that he plays, and that's it. He's become sort of like a bit of a hero online over the last sort of 12 months. So if you're into tasty guitar players and cool personalities, definitely give Bob Wood a look online, because I don't think you'll be disappointed. So for those who are regulars to the channel, you'll know recently, or about 6 to 8 months ago, I picked up two left-handed Tokai guitars. I got the SG43L, which is like an SG solid guitar. And I also picked up the ASL48L, which was the Love Rock, which is the equivalent of a Les Paul guitar. Now, I'm a huge fan of the Les Paul. I put it on. It feels good. Everything's where it should be in terms of feel for me. I have to think twice about playing a Les Paul. It's kind of like if you put a Telecaster or Strat on me in terms of where everything is. That's the sort of level of comfort I have with a Les Paul. Now, the SG sounds great. I actually almost prefer the sound of the SG over the Les Paul in some ways, but I've just never felt at home playing it. So it's going to hit eBay. Actually, it's on eBay now. It should be on today. So, I'm going to see if I can flip that and maybe replace it with something that feels a little bit more comfortable for me to play, or just actually put some money aside for a change, because I don't do that often enough. So, if you don't see my SG coming up, say, from February onwards, there's a reason for that. It's on the bay. I have taken out the really cool Tyson Tone Lab pickups. I may also put them into the Les Paul as well, because I think, those USA-made pickups are great. There's nothing wrong with the pickups in the Les Paul either. I think I love the sound of it. So I may wait and see if I can find another guitar where I can make the most of those pickups and put them in something that, inspires me to play. Unfortunately, the SG just never quite felt right on for me. It's just the way it connects to the body. There's a lot of frets. It's almost too many frets. It gets a little confusing for a guy like me. So, I've decided I'll flip that and see if I can find something else that, is different to what I've already got, but also inspires me to play as well. Great thing is I'm heading over to Florida and Nashville this year in July. So odds are I'll find something cool to bring back. And whatever it'll be a simple guitar. I like simple things. And I think if I can find a guitar that's got humbuckers that only has like one volume control and one tone control, that's all I'll need. So, I'll see what I can do about finding something like that while I'm away. I'm really looking forward to heading over. If you have any recommendations for left-handed guitars that sort of fit into that category, please let me know as well. Love to hear from you. I thought I'd also give a quick shout-out and thanks to everyone who supported my new album, The Change I Need. It's been really cool to get some of the feedback from that from people all over the world. If you are interested in picking up a copy of it, you can head over to intheblues.com.au. It was a really long process to finish that album, and I'm really glad it's done. I've just sent a couple of copies recently over to my friends in the US and close sort of personal friends, and they both loved it. So, I guess it's a mix of blues, funk, soul, all that kind of stuff. And it just, every song sort of had a meaning to me at the time that it was written. And some of the songs took a lot longer than others to finish, but I'm really glad it's out there. And I'm also going to be starting to use some of these songs for future podcasts. So I'm going to get more organized with the podcast coming up. 2016 will be the year that I put some production value into it, so to speak. I literally sit down with a microphone and I talk, and I just put a couple of backing tracks behind things. But I'm going to start doing it properly. I think this year will be the year that I actually have some background music that's different. I have, you know, some more guests. I'm still waiting on a few of the guests to confirm. It's been hard locking in a few of the people, but the podcast will definitely be taken in a different direction this year, or at least the production of it will, and I hope everybody enjoys that as well. I say that on a day where I'm filming this podcast with no light in my room at all. I'm just using natural light for a change because it's a whole lot cheaper and I can sort of tweak the video quality for people who do watch on YouTube. But yeah, it's one of those things where I really hope to... Recently, I've been getting a lot of questions regarding the GAS documentary I've been putting together since last year, which was the Gear Acquisition Syndrome documentary. It's basically been, like, put on hold. My friend who was helping with the cameras doesn't live here anymore, as in Australia. She moved back overseas, which is a real shame. So, yeah, I'm going to have to get some help doing this now with someone else. But the other problem is, too, the people that were available to be in the documentary aren't available anymore, which is the bigger problem. So... yeah, if, I don't know, I'm going to have to try and find another way of finishing this up that still makes sense. I probably should have just taken a camera crew with me shopping a few times. Probably would have made sense, or, you know, taking a camera crew with Rick, because he's even worse than me. But, yeah, I'll definitely have to think of another way to finish this project. The first day of shooting was awesome. We got so much great stuff. So, yeah, it all comes down to whether or not I can get some help with it and also find people to talk to about GAS, too. I haven't been as actively looking yet. I may have to put word out on Facebook and see if anyone's interested in being in it as well because, yeah, a friend of mine, Alex, from Alex Old School on YouTube, he's going to help me with the camera work, or he said he can. But, yeah, we're going to... I basically try to line up a day with another friend of mine who wanted to be in it, who I guess had other things come up or wasn't available, which was a shame. So I'd like to thank everyone for asking about that. Been getting a lot of questions about it lately, and it's one of those things that I'd love to finish. It's like any project, you start it. I don't like it just sitting there doing nothing. I like to have it done. So yeah, whether or not I revisit this later in the year or whatever, I'll have to see how we go with this project. And if it doesn't end up working, I might just have to put together, you know, what I have in a short video, maybe a 10 or 15 minute video, something like that, and I'll make use of it somehow. It might not be what I originally envisioned, but if we can find some people to help, that would be awesome. If you are in Melbourne, Australia, and you want to be in a documentary or help with a documentary, leave some comments in the YouTube video. And I'd love to hear from you. You can email me also at intheblues@outlook.com if you are interested in that. If you're going to ask me gear questions at that email, please just do it on YouTube. I don't want my inbox flooded with gear questions. I get way too many of them that I can't keep up with already. So if you don't hear from me, actually, you know what? Head over to facebook.com/intheblues if you've got any gear questions. That's kind of like the place that I'll answer most of them, or all of them, actually. I'm on 100% at the moment. And also at intheblues.net is my forum. That's an even better way of reaching me as well. So it's a good discussion forum over there. But yeah, the documentary is one of those things where, you know, you start out really motivated and everything's happening. And then, you know, as soon as something, one or two things don't work, you know, I'm in a situation where I'm stuck with it at the moment. And I'd love to finish it. So if anyone is interested in helping out with this project, absolutely let me know. I'd love to hear from you, and yeah, let's hope we can get it finished. All right, this might make a few people laugh, it might not, I'm not too sure, but if you do live in Melbourne, Australia, where I live, and you're in the city, you're probably going to see two familiar idiots busking on the street coming up. So, who are these idiots, you might ask? Well, one of them's me, and the other one is Dr. Rick. So, yeah, he talks me into getting my busking permit and all that kind of stuff. And he got inspired when he saw another guy jamming out to some blues, who was great. He took a video, sent it to me. He was really good. So he invested in one of those Roland street cubes, like the big one, the 40-watt one, I think it is. And, yeah, I've just been getting some backing tracks together. He's going to take in his Telecaster. I'll take in my Strat or Little Crow guitar or something like that. And we're just going to play. So we thought, why not? You know, we don't have many gigs booked. The gig scene's kind of, you know, well, at least for my original music, it's not a huge scene. And, yeah, he's not playing a whole lot either. He's got a couple of gigs, I think, coming up. But, yeah, so we thought, why not? Let's hit the street and have a jam. So they'll probably, I'm guessing, either be on Saturday nights or Monday daytime. Monday or Tuesday daytime coming up from February onwards. We'll see how many times we do this. But, yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I've got my little cheap pedal board set up and ready to go. It's just going to be like my Delta Lab TO1 and a delay pedal. I think that's about it. So it's basically, I'm just going to have an overdrive and delay. We're going to plug into this little amp. All the backing tracks will be on my iPhone. Plug that in and we'll jam. We've picked some really cool stuff from a whole bunch of different sources. So, yeah, if you do recognize us or see us on the street, feel free to come up and say hi. It's always fun to meet people that, I think if we hang out, Rick will be the one that gets noticed the most, because you don't often see a massive Chinese guy ripping up on a Telecaster. So, yeah, it'll be good fun. So, yeah, I can't really believe I'm doing this. I've gone busking in probably, you know, since I first started playing acoustic, like steel string acoustic guitar when I left high school. So it was probably like, I'm trying to think if I was 18 or 19, I would have been somewhere around there. Or maybe I was a bit older than that. Maybe I was like 20. Could have been around 20. I had a steel string acoustic Samick. And we went busking, yeah, a couple times in the city. But, yeah, anyway, why not? Keeps the chops up. And I guess we're playing to people, all that kind of stuff. It's a bit of a cultural thing in Melbourne as well, as Rick pointed out, where, you know, the live music in the streets is part of what gives Melbourne its vibe over other cities. So, you know, we'll try to add to some quality of street performance as well and have a little bit of fun, and hopefully I can steal some more licks off him. So we'll see how we go. But if you do see us, come down and say hi. And if you do busk already in whatever city you're at, let me know what your thoughts are on it and kind of people you meet as well. If you are watching on YouTube, it'd be fun to hear some comments and, yeah, get some feedback on your experiences with it as well. Another idea I had for a documentary was basically to talk to people on the street who do busk. And that's something that I'll try and maybe do this year if I can get some help with it as well. But, yeah, as I mentioned on the previous part of the podcast, I want to finish off my gas documentary first and then we'll see where we go from there. But the documentary side of it's fun, and let's hope the busking side of it's fun as well. I thought I'd share with everybody who listens to the podcast a little bit of news. I may have a new sponsor coming up on the channel, and this will be like a subtle thing. It won't be anything that I'm selling directly, anything like that, so you don't have to worry about it there. I've got a company that will be providing me some gear each month that I can use for videos, which is going to be great, with a little shout out to them. So it's nothing too invasive or anything like that. I basically get to choose whatever I want to demo, and in turn, they get some recognition as well. So it's going to be really cool. I won't give it away just yet on who this is, but it's an American company based in Chicago, which is going to be cool. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to expanding the channel. And this is one way that I can do it without sort of like being just completely out of pocket as well. So it works for us both. There's one thing for me just to go spend money I don't have on lots of gear and then shoot demos and then sell the stuff, which is kind of what I did in the early days. And there's another thing where I can sort of work in conjunction with a company that can provide this gear and then, you know, get some recognition that way as well. So it kind of works. It really works well. And being able to pick the stuff that I want to demo makes life a lot easier, because I'm thinking of theming all of these videos as well. I'm not going to give away what the theme of it is either, but I'm looking to sort of make the most out of this situation and also to make it as informative for everybody as I can. So it may be like comparison videos or shootout videos or something like that, where, you know, things that people I know are going to want to hear against each other. I'm going to do my research and find out the things that I think most people would want to hear back to back. Be something like that anyway. So, yeah, I'll keep everybody posted on that as it develops. I just got off a call this morning with the guy from the company. And, yeah, it seems all good. It seems really cool. He seems like a nice guy. And it's a company that everyone on here will know as well, which makes it even easier. So, yeah, I think everyone that's into gear has heard of their company, and yeah, it's going to be taking the channel up a notch in terms of, you know, the standard of gear that I can get will be much higher doing it this way. Not to say some of the stuff I don't get is already great quality, but, you know, I'm not just getting stuff sent to me that to do videos for that I'm not interested in. I can literally say, okay, I only want these, you know, two pedals this week or whatever, and or this month or however it works, and then next month I'll have these two or three or four or whatever. So and then I can make the most out of those products and do comparisons and videos for them as well. So yeah, it should be a lot of fun, and it's just given me a bit of flexibility and freedom to choose the things that I think people would want to watch on the channel, you know. So basically what I'm getting at is, you know, I've been sent ring modulation pedals, which I just send back. I'm like, I'm not going to demo this. No one on my channel is going to want to watch a ring modulation pedal demo. Given in the right, this is a twofold thing. Like, I can't use them. I just think they sound like crap, and I don't mean to offend anybody, but for the style of music I play, I'd never use a ring modulator. So, that, you know, that gives you some insight into where my thinking is. I want to use stuff that I like, or things that I'd be keen to try that is out there that maybe you want to hear it up against something else, like this or that. So, that's what we're thinking about, and I'm looking forward to filling everybody in when the time's right, and once I know it's all gone through, it should be fun. So, 2016 should be a fun year, and we'll see how it goes. I'm really looking forward to seeing how this sponsorship works and where, if it'll take the channel to new places as well. So yeah, let's see how it goes. That's it for the In the Blues Tone podcast. Thanks so much for listening. My name's Shane. If you want to listen to the full podcast, you can find it via iTunes or any podcatcher software by searching for In the Blues Tone podcast. So nice and simple. Otherwise, you can go to guitarpedaldemos.com and download the podcast in its entirety as well. If you are in a band, or just a quick mention, if you are in a band or you got your own music or you produce your own music, anything like that, and you would like to feature some of it on the podcast, please let me know. You can send me a track to intheblues@outlook.com or send me a SoundCloud link or something like that, and we might be able to put some of that in the background music, or we might actually start featuring some songs on the podcast as well, just to mix it up and show some original music. So no cover band stuff, just original music. And if you're happy for me to use it, please let me know in the email as well that you're happy for me to use it on the podcast. And yeah, we'll get you some recognition on there via, you know, comments on YouTube, all that kind of stuff as well, via the description on YouTube, or, you know, I can make mention of it in the post at guitarpedaldemos.com as well. Thanks again for watching. Hope you're having a great 2016, I almost said 15, and I'll catch you all later on. See ya.